We've also had bikers come in that could hardly let go of their handlebars because it's so cold.
Motorists, cyclists, and fans get ready for the biggest bike relay in Haines history. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. The annual Kluane Chilkat International Bike Relay is this weekend, and this year there'll be more spandex-clad, helmet-topped cyclists in town than any time in the race's 18-year history. Judy Ewald has helped organize that race for most of those years. The ride has cyclists pedaling sections of the highway from Haines Junction to Haines. In its beginning, Ewald was working the race as a U.S. Border and Customs employee, clearing riders at the border.
The first year they showed up, I think we had like 60 riders. 60 total. And we just made them all show their ID and send them on their way. And then the next year there was, you know, a few more. And about the third or fourth year, all of a sudden it went, and we're at the border going, holy Christ. Because we weren't ready for that many people and that many bicycles.
This year, there'll be around 1,300 riders along the highway and hanging around Haines. And trailers, tents, cars, support crew, dogs, and supplies for 1,300 riders.
It's why the parade grounds gets packed. Every place else in town. And I've had businesses, because I'm asking for donations for our volunteers, local volunteers, say it's the biggest weekend. It's bigger than fair. It's bigger than beer fest.
For motorists, there'll be road closures and delays and precautions to take up if you're driving between the two endpoints.
You want to go slow. We tell the bikers to stay on the right side of the road, to support vehicles. You tend to swing around the bike to give them a little space, so you're going to get crowded. So you just want to try and hug the right side of the road if you're going north, left side. If you're going south, give the bikers a little bit of space. Don't be in a hurry. And if you really don't have to go that day, don't go. The border's going to be busy, both north and south. Otherwise, it's only going to be busy from about 1 to 5. And then just plan your trips if you're local around that.
And for the riders, well, it depends on how many legs or which leg you're riding. Over the years, Ewald has ridden
six of the eight.
And she kept notes on every leg.
Leg one, I did for years because I worked at the border. So I had to do leg run and come back and work at the border. You've got that huge climb out of Haines Junction. So, you know, you charge out across the bridge and all of a sudden you're going uphill. And you get about halfway through one and then it's a gradual downhill almost to the end. And that's usually a good one because there's no wind.
Leg two is the longest with no big hills, just rolling ups and downs, she says.
But again, it ends up with a long, gradual uphill. And that's the trick to almost all the legs. There's an uphill at the end. And it's just because that's where the pull-offs are. Three, I would never, ever do again, which I frequently say.
And guess which leg I unknowingly signed up for?
It drops right at the start. And then you get the Cluckshoe, the river up there. And then it's just a climb all the way up to Pringle Towers. And it levels off a little bit. And then it just climbs again. And I just... it's a climb. You got to have the legs and the lungs for that one.
Ewald called four fun with a drop to Million Dollar Falls, then a headwind and a hill at the end. Five has a crosswind and ends at the summit of the Haines Pass.
We've also had bikers come in that could hardly let go of their handlebars because it's so cold, you know. So it's an interesting one. And I really admire the volunteers that do the same volunteers every year do that checkpoint because it's the coldest, wettest, windiest checkpoint. And it's a tough group.
Six drops down from the summit with a long glide into the uphill at the end.
And I've done six in a driving rain, and I had to pedal the downhills. Just killed me. I wanted to coast.
Seven goes through the border to Klukwan. This year, an attendant will stop riders about 60 or so feet before the border so they can walk their bikes around the new radiation portals. The last leg goes home to the finish line, and Ewald says people experienced in drafting might like to pair up for that leg.
The big turnoff where the park service buildings are is... Starry checkpoint 8, and it's mostly level, except it can be windy.
But Ewald says there are still several variables that could make race day unpredictable. So far, weather on Saturday is forecast to be more clouds than sun, with highs in the upper 50s and lows in the low 50s, with a 20% chance of rain.
All the legs are different, and it depends on the wind. Some years you've had tailwind all the way. Last year they had a headwind from leg one all the way through.
Ewald suggests spectators try the finish line at the bottom of the parade grounds for good action, starting at 1 or 2 p.m. on June 19th. Drivers going through the border should have passports for all passengers ready for inspection as they approach the station. Anyone interested in volunteering for the bike relay can call Judy Ewald at 766-2455. For more information, including how to fill in as a last-minute rider, go to the Kluane Chilkat International Bike Relay website. Just search the words Chilkat Bike to find it online. It seems unlike an airline service to discount anything on their flights these days. We are asked to pay extra for baggage, headphones, and peanuts. But customers might be relieved to hear that they will not be paying extra fees for more efficient baggage service. Alaska Airlines customers who will be checking their bags can expect to retrieve their luggage 5 minutes sooner than usual. A baggage service guarantee was put into effect this week. The 25-minute guarantee, the airline's new baggage plan, will give passengers their choice of 2,000 Alaska Airline miles or $20 off a future flight if their luggage is not at the baggage claim within 20 minutes after their flight is parked at the gate. Alaska Airlines and Horizon Air say that they will continue to lower baggage fees. The airline announced last month that they would begin to offer some in-flight internet to passengers, but not passengers in their namesake state. Unlike that service upgrade, this change does benefit customers in Alaska. This is Katie Hicks reporting for KHNS.
Tlingit Haida Tsimshian and Yupik creations were on display at a recent Native Artists Market in Juneau. The event was part of Celebration 2010, which drew up to 5,000 people to the capital city. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld spoke to some of the several dozen artists and craftspeople selling traditional and contemporary products. He prepared this audio postcard.
I'm Israel Shotridge. My Tlingit name is Kinsadach. It means the bear standing up. I'm from Ketchikan, Alaska, born there, and learned carving from Nathan Jackson in a village totem park called Saxman.
So tell me about the work you're selling here.
Well, this is a line of our production jewelry, but I also design and engrave silver and gold jewelry. And I carve totem pole primarily, and other items like mask, bentwood box, canoes, and monumental totems.
Cubby Martin.
And you're
Artie.
Artie Martin.
And are you two brothers, cousins?
We're brothers.
Tell me about the drum you have there.
Well, I'm the drum maker here, and we came from Seattle, and our family's from Haines. So my drums are made out of elk hide and cedar. I make the cedar frames from scratch, and then I cut all the lace from the same skin so everything matches, and put them all together and let them dry for about 3 days and they're ready to go.
I'm a hat weaver, basket and hat weaver.
Tell me about that.
Well, I make mine out of yellow cedar and red cedar. I make contemporary or traditional style hats. The hats I make, I wear it, someone always buys it off my head. So I have never ever had a hat for myself until I met this one elder up in Canada. She had liked my hats, and she wanted to do a trade, so I did a trade with her. So now I really consider this one my hat.
Merle Anderson from Old Massett on Haida Gwaii. I'm selling my artwork, cedar, red and yellow cedar bark hats, and red cedar women's hats, and earrings made of spruce root and the spruce root basket. I've been weaving since I retired in 1995.
And is this a family tradition?
Yes, it is. My grandmother, Isabel Eden Shaw, and my mother, Florence Davidson, were weavers.
My name is Annie Hurlbut. I'm from Chivac and Hooper Bay, near Babesal, Alaska.
And tell me about what you're selling here today.
I'm selling about my culture is the Eskimo dolls.
How do you make these?
I made them with the wire, and then clothing inside is a feeding sheet, and outfit is made with the tusbuck. And faces are hands, and feet are made with a deer hide.
And how long have you been making these?
Maybe about 9 or 10 years.
How did you learn?
My mother, my parents, by watching them, yeah.
Pauline Duncan, Sitka. I have available different Devil Club products, the menthol, the regular spruce pitch Devil's Club ointment, and the oil and lip balm. I have testimonies from all over the United States and from a couple of different countries who claim that it helps them with so many different minor skin ailments. It goes anywhere from skin rash to cancer radiation treatments.
Do you make these products or work with the people who do?
I make all of the products. And everything that I brought here today was made like within the last 2 weeks.
I'm Kathy Humperville Thompson, and I am from Metlakatla.
Tell me about what you're selling here.
I do regalia, vests, button robes, dresses, pretty much everything, leggings, aprons, special orders.
Tell me about the piece you're working on right now.
This is something I thought I would work on very slowly. And we sold out all the headbands yesterday, and I have a lady that wants it today. So I'm working frantically to get it ready for her. Her granddaughter's going to dance this afternoon.
How long have you been doing this?
Oh, my gosh. Maybe over 20 years,
really?
Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how did you get started?
I had 6 daughters. I had to learn how to sew. So it just went on from there.
I'm Tara Bicknell, reporting for KHNS.